Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called Medusa and Perseus, an adaptation of a Greek myth written for you by Daniel Hines. This is part one of the story. Part two will be released next Tuesday. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Reagan, Harper, Quinn, Cole, and Gavin and their family in Northbrook, Illinois, Simon and Evelyn and their many pets in Aitkin, Minnesota, Verity and her family in Tokyo, Japan, and Marcus and Alice and their family in Houston, Texas. Thank you so much, Alice, Marcus, Verity, Evelyn, Simon, Gavin, Cole, Quinn, Harper, and Reagan. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have new Stories Podcast face masks available. Check those out, plus all of our other merch at storiespodcast.com/shop. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, you can team up with friends in Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where you can meet talking flowers.
Life's full of surprises.
And where piranha plants sing.
And where Mario, Luigi, and Peach turn into elephants.
Wowie zowie!
And where this announcer turns into a...
super tiny announcer!
That's not in the game.
Sorry, got a little excited. Nintendo Switch, the home of Mario and friends. Game rated E for everyone. Game and system sold separately.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. Medusa and Perseus, Part 1. Once upon a time, in ancient Greece, there was a girl named Medusa that everyone loved. She was friendly without being annoying, she was sweet without being condescending, and she was beautiful without being vain. The people in her village always remarked that her smile was like a summer breeze, and her hair was long and flowing, sparkling like a waterfall in the sun. When she was very young, Medusa was chosen to work at the Temple of Athena. She was thrilled to hear it, since the girls who worked at the temple got out of the house and learned more about the big, wide world. Medusa wanted to know all about it, and Athena was the goddess of wisdom, so it all just seemed to fit. Life at the temple was simple but fulfilling. Medusa learned, she made friends with the other girls, and because she was so beloved, she was quickly prepared for more and more important roles. Soon she was greeting important people as they entered the temple, always setting them at ease with a gentle smile or a quick-witted joke.
"I came here all the way from Rome," an ancient scholar would grouse, "and I'm here being greeted by a child."
"I can be as old as you like," Medusa would reply.
"Oh, how so?"
"Just give me about," she wavered her hand back and forth, "about 100 years. The old scholars would laugh, and Medusa would guide them to the library or the priestess or some scroll even more ancient than they were. Medusa learned a lot, and she got to travel to temples all over the area. She saw a lot of the countryside and walked some dangerous roads. She saw wolves and robbers and warriors, but her downfall came at the temple, right at her own front door. Medusa was brushing out her long hair, all sparkling like a waterfall in the sun. A shadow fell in from the door, and she looked up to see a towering figure, smelling faintly of the sea. His skin was a sailor's skin, weathered and bronze, but he wore the finest clothes Medusa had ever seen. "Welcome to the temple," she said. "How can the priestesses of Athena help you today?"
"I'm looking for my sister," the man said, but then he looked at Medusa and smiled. "But maybe you can help me instead."
"Well, who's your sister?" Medusa asked. The man had eyes like a stormy sea,
and they made her feel a little unsteady, like she was trying to sail them alone.
"My sister is Athena," said the man. "Sometimes it's easier to call her from her temples."
With a start, Medusa realized that this wasn't a mere man. If he was a brother to the goddess Athena, that made him a god. And Medusa had a good idea of which one he might be.
"Poseidon?" she said. And as the words left her lips, she noticed for the first time that the man had a soft glow at the edges. It was sort of a seafoam green color and wavered like shadows underwater.
"You are Poseidon, aren't you?" Medusa was excited. She had seen Athena from afar once, but even in those days, the gods and goddesses didn't appear all that often to the mortals on Earth.
"So, you know me," Poseidon said, looking her over, eyes lingering on all that long hair, sparkling like a waterfall in the sun. "Well, that's good then. It seems my sister isn't here, so I want you to give her a message for me."
"Oh, of course," Medusa said. "Is it long? Should I write it down?"
"Oh, that's not necessary," Poseidon said, and then he leaned down and gave her a kiss, full on the lips. He was chilly cold and tasted like sardines.
"Yuck!" Medusa said, jerking away. "What was that? I did not want you to kiss me."
"Huh. Tell it to my sister," the god said, laughing. "I'm back to the ocean."
"You need permission to kiss someone," Medusa was shouting. "You can't! You shouldn't! Get out!"
But he was already gone, disappearing into a roaring wave and breaking into mist. Medusa went to the bathroom, tears in her eyes, and brushed her teeth until the sardine taste was gone. She made a note that she would complain to the High Priestess when she got to see her next. It is not okay for someone to kiss a person without their permission, even if that someone is a god. Medusa deserved an apology. Unfortunately for Medusa, that's not what happened next. Just an hour later, Athena stormed into the temple. The goddess was a blur of anger, her glow bright and red and pooling like a thick mist. She was wearing armor of honey gold and held a spear that nearly scraped the vaulting archway of the door. Medusa was so overwhelmed by the sight of a goddess in her full anger that she shrank back.
"Priestesses!" the goddess called,
and all the girls in the temple ran to gather.
"I heard one of you met with my brother a short time ago."
Everyone looked confused, but Medusa raised a trembling hand. Was the goddess really this mad at Poseidon? Medusa's heart was pounding in her chest.
I did," she said.
"How dare you, a priestess of Athena, kiss a god in my temple? How dare you?"
I didn't. I wouldn't.
Medusa was so surprised that she couldn't find her words. Athena was upset with her, but she hadn't done anything wrong. And in fact, she had been wronged.
"Enough!" Athena cried, crackling with power. "Poseidon told me all about you. You and your beautiful hair."
The goddess grabbed Medusa's hair roughly. Even in Athena's hand, the hair sparkled like a waterfall in the sun.
"Well, no one will ever find you beautiful again."
There was a crack and a flash and thunder and lightning and the world shook and day turned to night, and all that happened in the space it takes you to blink. And when it was over, Medusa was changed. Her once beautiful skin scaled in serpent green. Her smile twisted and wide, and worst of all, her long, beautiful hair began to twist and thrash. And where once it was sparkling like a waterfall in the sun, it changed to a bed of purple snakes rearing and hissing. Athena had cursed Medusa, transforming her into a beast called a Gorgon. Medusa looked down at her hands, now unfamiliar and patterned with reptilian scales. She touched her face, the features now distorted, and she felt the snakes that had replaced her hair all pulling and twisting this way and that, each one with a mind of its own. Medusa fell to the floor in horror, and Athena covered her with a cloak.
"Now, if anyone should look upon your face," Athena said, sneering, "then they will be turned to stone. Go ahead, Medusa. See how charming you are now."
Medusa the Gorgon cried out, and the snakes on her head hissed in response. She hadn't even wanted to be kissed. She didn't deserve any of this. Medusa felt a ripple of hot rage rush through her, and she cried out again at the unfairness of this punishment. The other girls all pulled away, terrified, and Medusa fled from the temple. She ran and ran and didn't stop running until she was all alone on an island far away from trouble. Of course, trouble, being trouble, was still on its way. Across the country, in another part of Greece, there lived a demigod named Perseus. His father was Zeus, and his mother was a mortal woman named Danae. Perseus had some interesting times as a child, and being half-god, he was quick to come into his abilities. He was only a young man, but already he could run as fast and fight as hard as anyone alive. Perseus was kind to his friends and family and loved them deeply. He was also unbelievably deadly with a sword or spear or just about anything else, and he protected those he loved with extreme passion, which is why his mother's new husband wanted him out of the picture. A petty king named Polydectes had decided to marry Danae. He hadn't bothered to ask Danae's opinion on the matter, and he knew that Perseus would be rightly furious when he found out. Not wanting to face the demigod's wrath, Polydectes called him in for a secret meeting before word got out. "What is this about?" asked Perseus, rubbing sleep from his eyes. The king had summoned him in the black middle of the night.
"I have an important quest," the king said, and he smiled as Perseus perked right up.
The young demigod thought himself so brave. Of course he'd leap at a quest.
"Of course.
Just tell me what you need."
"It's of utmost importance, truly," the king said, playing up the drama. "Deep in the sea there lives an island, and deep in the island there sits a cave, and deep within the cave lurks a monster, a terrible Gorgon named Medusa."
"A Gorgon?" Perseus asked.
"An old monster, made by the gods as a curse," King Polydectes said. "They have serpent scales on their skin and snakes for hair. They're terribly dangerous, and we can't have one so close to the kingdom. I need a hero, brave and true, to sail to the island and chase off the beast. Are you that hero, Perseus?"
"I am," Perseus said. The young man wasn't usually so gullible, but he had no reason to suspect the king of lying. And really, the king wasn't lying. The Gorgon was a terrible scare for passing merchants, but he doubted Perseus could slay her. After all, he hadn't even told the boy the Gorgon's secret power. That one simple look could turn a person to stone.
"I'll leave right away. I can catch the morning tides."
The king chuckled as Perseus left to go pack. The young hero would set out before dawn and he'd be a statue inside a week. Meanwhile, Danae would be his bride before the turn of the moon. Perseus packed in a rush, taking his traveling bag and sword. Before the sun had even flirted with rising, he was on a ship, headed out to sea. But he wasn't heading for Medusa. Contrary to what King Polydectes believed, Perseus was suspicious from the beginning. He had heard about a monster called the Gorgon on a nearby island, so he knew that much was true. But there was more to the story. There was something that the king wasn't telling him. And there was only one way to find out what that was. Perseus got off the boat up the coast. He passed through the big port town and through the smaller outer towns and through the little farmsteads and into the wild and up a mountain. And there, late at night, he found them. The Grey Sisters. They were three prophets, seers, mystics, witches. Whatever you wanted to call them, they were ancient. Skin shriveled and dry, hair a brittle white. They only had one eye between the three of them, and they passed it back and forth as they talked.
"Perseus," they said as the young hero approached. "You finally arrived."
"Finally?" asked Perseus, eyeing the Grey Sisters. They lounged on the flat, craggy top of the mountain, staring at the stars. "I didn't even know I was coming here until a couple days ago." One sister passed the eye to the next, holding it up like a crystal ball. Perseus shuddered when he saw the iris spin to watch him.
"Time is an illusion," they said, speaking as one. "You see it as being washed down a river, one direction, out of your control."
The eye rolled from hand to hand, and their brittle hair blew stiffly in the midnight wind.
"For us, time is a scroll. Read the beginning, read the end, skip around the middle. Oh, you find all sorts of good things in the middle."
They cackled, the eye spinning wildly in one of their ancient, prune-wrinkled palms. "Then tell me, why does the king want me to kill the Gorgon? What isn't he telling me?" The Grey Sisters laughed again, their hoarse cackles fluttering into the night like bats.
"Oh, he has questions. So does everyone, boy. You'll get nothing from us. Now head back down the mountain."
Perseus drew his sword and stepped forward. The sisters laughed again.
"Oh, we can't be cut or killed, foolish boy."
But they had underestimated him, just like the king. Perseus lashed out with his sword, not at the sisters, but at their eye. He knocked it into the air like a ball, and then leapt and snatched it with one hand while the witches cried out in horror.
"Our eye! Give us back our eye, you brat!"
Perseus danced back and dropped the eye into his pocket, where he could feel it spin in wild circles. "You can have your eye back, but you'll need to answer my questions," he said, sheathing his sword. "Do we have a deal?"
"This is what we get for playing with demigods,"
the sisters grumbled, but they nodded in unison. "What isn't the king telling me?" Perseus asked. The witches swayed back and forth together, staring sightlessly up at the twinkling stars.
"He means to marry your mother after you're turned into stone."
"Turned into stone?" asked Perseus, brow furrowed. "What are you talking about?"
"Ahem! Our eye?"
"My answers first."
"Oh, goodness. The Gorgon is no monster, but a poor girl. Her name was Medusa. She was cursed by Athena in a jealous rage, but Medusa never did anything wrong, though. She was a victim all along. It's very unfair. But now, if anyone so much as looks upon her, they are forever turned to stone."
"That's terrible." "Oh, and the king meant for her to get me," Perseus snarled. He took the eye out of his pocket and showed it to the sisters. They groaned and reached for it with six withered, weathered hands. "How do I break the curse?" Perseus asked, "without being turned to stone."
"You need to ride the wind, to wield the lightning. You need a covered cowl and burning bronze."
Don't give me riddles, said Perseus.
Fine, talk to your father, the sisters said, hands reaching, eyes spinning. In this, Zeus will help you.
Perseus sighed and handed the eye back to the sisters. They snatched it from him hungrily, fingers cold as ice. It spun in their palms like it was happy to be home. Thank you, Perseus said. I'm sorry about the eye. He was sorry, too. The Gray Sisters may be ancient witches, but they looked so much like helpless old women, it was easy to forget.
Oh, don't worry, boy, they said, laughing again. We knew this would happen, as we know all things. You were only playing your part.
Oh, said Perseus. And what is my part, exactly?
You know, the hero, they said sadly. And Medusa is your adversary.
I'll break the curse, he said, thinking of the poor girl transformed by the gods.
There's only one way to do that, the Gray Sisters said, and you are not prepared.
Tell me, Perseus said, standing before the three witches on the mountaintop, bathed in starlight, the breeze blowing hollow through the olive trees. Tell me how to save her.
Well, to save the girl, they said,
eye staring directly into his.
You must kill the Gorgon.
In the distance, thunder boomed, and a bolt of lightning struck, white and hot and brilliant. It was time to go see his father. To be continued. Today's story, part one of Medusa and Perseus, was an adaptation of a Greek myth written for you by Daniel Hines, edited and produced by Andrew Martin, and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. Part two will be released next week. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.